You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday. It's October 1st already, you guys. Episode 3787. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. We have Krista Lafayette coming back. And Jamie's very excited about this.
Oh, my God. She's going to tell me what Butters is, and she's the CEO of Edelon Diagnostics, and she ran Butters tests, and I'm going to find out some info about Butters.
Did you cheat and look or not?
No.
I haven't looked? Okay.
Nope, haven't looked.
All right. Then we have Melissa Priblow Chapman is going to join us. She's an author, and she rode her horse years ago across the country, and she did a book called Distant Skies, An American Journey on Horseback. It's also now available on audio. We have her on. Plus, do we have weird news?
Yes, it keeps happening.
All right. And then we're not going to do a post show today, partly because anytime Jamie and I go anywhere, we get sick. And you got sick.
Oh, I think the amusement park and the airplanes and the germs.
The concert packed with people.
I am incredibly heavily medicated right now, so I do apologize for anything I say. Yeah, I didn't want to leave you alone again.
Yeah, Monday sucked. I do not like doing shows by myself. That sucked. I need a co-host. I just can't do them by myself.
Yeah. So I didn't want to leave you alone again. So I'm not firing on all cylinders, you guys. Sorry.
It's all right. We still have a good show planned for you. And we want to thank everyone who posted a review and social media post yesterday for International Podcast Day. A ton of you did. Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate all the promotion. I don't know, Jamie, if you noticed, but there was a lot of people posting on their Facebook pages about the show, and we got a bunch of new reviews, and all of them were 5-star. Nobody left us a 1-star, so I was happy to hear that.
That's cool. Yeah. I can't figure out how to read the reviews, but then I was trying to navigate through it, I'm like, you know, it's probably best if I don't.
Actually, you wouldn't have trouble reading our reviews. They're pretty good. There was only one bad one, and that was like 15 years ago. So you're okay.
That guy sucks.
You're all right. So thank you to everybody. We really do appreciate you guys promoting the show. It really does help us out, and those reviews really do help as well. And, you know, the sponsors, potential sponsors, look at that too. So it really does help us. And you auditors, you guys are great. I know a lot of you chimed in as well, so we appreciate
it. And y'all know, as long as we have sponsors, we can just keep doing this nonsense that we've been doing. So thanks for the help.
That's true. All right, let's get to Daily Winnies. Well, we do have several birthdays, auditor birthdays. Cody Elise, Maggie McAllister, and Angela
Mutz.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out her hyphenated, the first part.
Eigenrauch Mutz.
Eigenrauch Mutz. Okay, well, we're hoping we're close. And also, you're being blamed again.
Uh-oh.
Auditor Diana did a post in the auditor room. It's all your fault, Jamie Messy Jennings. I'm marching toward death, so I bought a new horse.
Yay!
Meet Prize, a 4.5-year-old Morgan Gelding. Prize, that's a great name for a horse.
That's
a great name. But now, this must be about 30 now that I've counted that people are blaming you for buying new
and
horses.
And no commission on any of them.
No, that's true. Yeah, you haven't made your 10% commission, your broker fee.
No. And for those who don't know, Marching Towards Death was I was in a lot of senior facilities with my mom, and I just realized that, you know what, we're gonna be here in 5 minutes, you guys. We're marching towards death. Buy the damn horse, you know, like I
or
got
the car,
my
or the house or the
my
whatever.
Husband bought a boat. I was like, fine, just get the boat.
You did fight him on that boat all the way up until that point.
Up until that point, because he said, well, my dad, he's getting to the age where
there you
I
go.
Don't know how much longer I'll be able to climb in a boat.
You.
And I'm like, buy two.
That's funny. He has figured out now after 15, 16 years.
Yeah, well, we've been together 18, so
he
yeah.
has finally figured out how to use your own words against you.
That's okay. I manipulate him way more than he manipulates me. Come on. I'm winning that one. However, somehow I did get manipulated into going to a concert in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Now, let me just add to the manipulation. My son is a huge fan of this band. He loves this band called 21 Pilots. It's like a thing. It's a big thing in our house. It's always playing in our house. It makes me crazy because it's always playing. And my son manipulated me by saying, because the past two concerts they've gone to, it has been Chad and Lucas. Bye. This time he said, Mom, do you think maybe you could go with me this time? I melted into like a puddle and I was like, oh my God, you want me to go? Like, talk about manipulation. I'm like, listen, dude. You're not sitting in the nosebleeds this time. We're making this stuff nice. Okay. So like, I was like, let's find a concert in the country that would be fun to go to. So I found one in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We made like a whole weekend around it. But, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it, but I got to do some great stuff. We went to Hershey Park and rode all the roller coasters and did all the chocolate stuff, Glenn, that you suggested. But these people at this concert. So my son, Lucas dressed up as the lead singer. And I mean, there's like face paint involved and there's just like outfit, this whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, people are going to
love Kiss concerts.
Well, it's, you don't paint your face, you paint your neck. Okay. And your hands. Okay. It's like this whole thing. And they have these boots and the thing. And so we bought him all this because he wanted to be it for Halloween. So conveniently we had all the clothes. So we decided to go and he gets dressed for the concert. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to like make fun of him because he's dressed as the lead singer. Like, who does that? I've never been to this concert. We get there and every single person is dressed as one of the guys in 21 Pilots or one of the creatures in the video or something or other. It is the craziest group of humans. They lined up at 8 o'clock in the morning to be in line for the pit that you have to stand in all day. We walked into the parking lot in the middle of the day and there were 1,000 people in the parking lot, everybody with the clothes on. But I will tell you, I'm from Atlanta and I've been to concerts. There's 1,000 people in a parking lot. That's the last place I want my child, you know, around those people. Glenn, nobody was drinking. Nobody smelled like pot. This band doesn't cuss. And there's no swear words in any of their songs. It is like they promote mental health. They're like a super promoter of mental health. And they say, like, all these humans, kids to people in their 50s or 60s were in line for this band. And they just, it's like a religion. And everybody is so nice, like super nice. Like we're just walking around. We don't have the bracelets. We're just like absorbing the environment. And people are like, hey, would you like some bracelets? I made some bracelets. And people are trading bracelets and giving each other gifts. And this mom, she walks up, this lady walks up full goth outfit. And she's like, hey guys, I have some water and snacks. Would anybody like some water and snacks? And I'm like, where am I? These are the nicest people on the planet. And I'm like, I don't know anything about the band. So I start asking. And in 5 seconds, I have like a crowd of people around me educating me about where the paint goes regarding what your mental health issues are. And like, they're all super supportive of each other and everybody's super nice. And they were like, you guys don't have bracelets. And I'm like, we're just walking around. They're like, it's okay. No problem. I mean, in Atlanta, somebody would have punched you in the face for being in that line without having, you know, the proper credentials or whatever. It was crazy. Everybody was so nice and so kind. The lead singer of the pops up all around when the concert's going on. It was raining. Lucas had black paint. Like, his paint was smearing everywhere. Everybody was wet. And this guy's running around the crowd, high-fived Lucas. It took kids up on stage to sing songs, was given his, like, gave his sunglasses to somebody, a kid in the stand. It was just the most fundamentally different experience at a concert that I've ever seen. So anyway, 21 Pilots. I'm a fan. I'm tired of the music. I need a break. But like, it was really a cool experience. And I'm glad Lucas is into something that healthy. You know what I mean? Like really.
So he had a great
really
time.
Good show. Yes. Oh my God. He's like, that's the best concert ever.
Was this indoor or outdoor? Because I know they have both stadiums.
It was outside.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, it was raining, no lightning or anything like that. But I mean, it was coming. It was misting pretty heavily.
Then you guys got to do the Hershey Park, which is an amusement park that's been there for 100 years. I mean, it's been there forever. We used to go there. That's the park we went to. We'd go a couple times a year as teenagers. That's the park we went to. But
really?
They have some really good roller coasters. Did they do all the roller coasters?
Oh, they did everything.
Yeah.
They've made the roller coasters so high tech. And the roller coasters are actually built like on top of other roller coasters that are still active. So you're like, you're going through the red line and you see the green thing swoop down. It was absolutely crazy. High intensity rides. I don't do those things, but I was like, I want to ride one thing. So I found a roller coaster that I could ride. And I stand in line, and they didn't have enough. Like, I was the last one in the line. And so Chad and Lucas just watched, and they're like, we'll take video. And so it was me and, let's see, one, two, probably about 15 other six-year-olds. And I got on this ride. Glenn, it was awesome.
Was it the mouse one?
No, it was just, it was like a little coaster, but it was like a little tiny roller coaster for like 6-year-olds. And I'm like,
Chad and I wouldn't even have fit in the seats.
No, they were like, sorry, only one adult in each seat at a time. Like, you can put an adult in a small child or just one adult. So I'm in this line and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun because it actually doesn't just stop. It would be 5 seconds if they stop. So they let you go 3 times. So I'm like, first one, I'm like, woo! And Chad and Lucas are standing off to the side watching me like embarrassed. And I'm like, ooh. And then it comes through and it's like goes for the second time. And I'm like, ooh. And then it comes through and they're going to do a third time. And I was like, let me off. I don't want to go again.
God, you would have got it. You wouldn't have done well on some of those bigger coasters.
Oh my God. They did it 3 times in a row. And I was like, okay, I'm done. That's good. Cool.
And this is
like,
why she doesn't do water in boats.
I think I threw my neck out. I'm sore. And these 6-year-olds are hopping off like, can we do it again? And I'm like, I hate all of you. Like, I hate all of you. And that's, I think, why I got sick. Lucas was like, mommy, it's because you rode out the kid roller coaster and you got all the germs.
That's very funny. And yeah. I assume you ate a ton of chocolate.
Oh my goodness. It was so, yeah. And I felt like we purchased a lot of chocolate, but people were bringing like crates of things.
Yes. I don't think it's cheaper at their store either.
No, it's not cheaper.
No.
But it's just there. And I guess people think.
In very large quantities.
Well, we bought a bunch of chocolate, not thinking that the next day we're going to Hershey Park and we had to check out of our hotel. So basically, I have a ton of chocolate bars that are just giant, hard things of goo in the packaging because everything melted in the car.
You know, they sell some very large items too. They sell the 5-pound Hershey bars, which are enormous. And then they sell the Hershey Kisses that are like 3 pounds.
Yeah, I saw those.
They're huge.
I really regret not buying the 3-foot-long pack of Twizzlers. I'd murder those in a movie. They'd be like, where's the package of Twizzlers? I ate all of them.
You could share it with the person 3 rows over.
Yeah, like the spaghetti noodle with the dogs.
Yep.
Should have bought those.
State Line Tack is back. If you're ready to maximize your savings, and listen up, the State Line Tack Rewards Program is your ticket to exclusive deals and discounts. Joining is absolutely free, and you'll earn points with every purchase. These points unlock member-only coupons, special promotions, and early access to the biggest sales they have going. Plus, you'll automatically be entered into the monthly prize drawings. Redeem your hard-earned points for discounts on everything State Line Tack offers. Saddles, bridles, riding apparel, stable supplies, and more. Don't miss out on these incredible savings. Visit statelinetech.com to sign up today and to start earning rewards. And also, our HRN coupon is back, 25% off any order of $49 or more. And please note that there's some products that are not eligible for additional discounts due to manufacturer restrictions. Just put them in your cart, put the discount code in, and it'll tell you which ones you get the discount on. So thank you to Stateline Tech for doing that for our listeners. We really appreciate it. And now we're going to head off to Krista from Edelon Diagnostics to find out all about butters.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to learn about this from our next guest. We've got Krista Lafayette, from the CEO of Edelon Diagnostics. And it's not the first time that I've reached out to Krista to do like some sort of exciting reveal, because as you guys might know, I like to collect weird things and things I know nothing about. So Krista, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me as a repeat offender. I really appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. Well, the last time it was...
She keeps getting new horses, so...
I know. It's all about content. Last time it was about getting some weird pony that I knew nothing about from some place in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. This time, it was actually right down the street, and he is a nurse mare foal. I know who the mother is, but I don't know who the father is, and I don't really know anything about him other than he's like the cutest,
he's the cutest thing ever.
Well, I think that the first thing you have to do, just personally, my personal opinion right now, is you have to stop leaning on the content crutch and recognize yourself as an addict. Everyone, this is Jamie.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jamie, and I'm an addict. It is. I like to tell my husband it's for content. Okay, listen, Krista, we all have to manage our lives the way we're going to manage them. But I call Krista, and I'm like,
"Hi."
This
is why I like Krista coming back.
I've got another one for you. She's like, "Oh God, what did you do now?" So Butters is a Palomino. He was born May 11th, and he is now here, and he is the sweetest, cutest thing in the world. But other than, I know his mom was a big Palomino quarter horse looking creature, I don't know anything about him. So, I mean, let's fire away.
I know what he is. So I don't know where you want to start, because there's all kinds of cool things about him. I mean, we can start with just like the basic color. You already know by looking at him that he's Palomino, right? So that's pretty straightforward. That means he's a red base and he has one copy of cream, right? But he should also, if you look at him as he gets older, you might see some, you know, like a vague stripe down his back and maybe some shadows on his muzzle and on his legs, upper legs, maybe on the shoulders, because he has a copy of non-done primitive markings, or ND1. So I don't know if you see that or not.
Actually, he has some random spots.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and they're
like
darker than the rest of his coat.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was wondering if that was just like a baby thing and going away, but it's a primitive gene.
Well, it's tough to say. When they're babies, they change a lot. So we've been down this road before trying to explain this to folks. There's a region in the genome, the dun region, right? And we all know what a dun means. A dun means the coat's a little bit lighter and they have this prominent stripe down their back and often leg barring, and sometimes a shadow on the face and on the shoulders. But there's a second variant in that same region. And for whatever reason, the scientists who found it called it ND1. And that stands for non-dun, which drives me bonkers because it's in the same region, in the same variant region. So it's actually, I don't know, I would have called it dun too, but it wasn't mine to call. So, and the other thing is that it's supposed to be, it's written in small lowercase letters, which means what?
Recessive.
That's right. So it should be recessive, but we're finding animals that have one copy often show it, especially if they're lighter. So if you've got like a buckskin or a Palomino, a really light bay, and they have one copy of ND1, even though it's supposed to be recessive, we often see it.
Okay. Glenn, are you impressed that I knew
I'm just impressed that you're passing the quiz today.
Okay. So yes, he's a Palomino and he may grow up to have any those spots, some barring, because I also have a dun here and he's got all the barring and all the stripes and everything. So he's pretty cool looking. Okay. So let's go with what is he?
Oh, come on now. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I want to know what that is.
There's some hints. There's some hints. So there are a couple of other hints in here as to what he is. He also has a copy of W35 and what we call EDX White 3. Now, EDX White 3 is a new genetic region that we found, and we actually found that in drafts. So that we've also found is pretty widespread. But W35 we've primarily found in quarter horses and paint horses. Now, it does exist elsewhere, but there's a little bit of a hint there. So he probably has white markings, yeah?
Yes, he has four white socks and a blaze.
Beautiful. Love that. And then he has something else. So in his health panel, he has one copy of Herda, right? So he's Herda/N, which does nothing to him, but it's typically found in cow horses, cutting horses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. So everything in his individual variants right now is starting to point towards quarter horses, but you've got to be careful because, you know, definitely they could be more widespread than that, than they're most likely in these quarter horses. Another thing that's interesting about him is his speed disposition or myostatin. Does our friend Butters, is he a chunky monkey on the back end? Does he have a booty? Oh.
He's got a booty for days.
He's got two copies of Sprint, which is the mutation, which is an insertion, which is what quarter horses have primarily. More than 95% of quarter horses are Sprint type because they were bred to be fast, 0 to 60.
So he's that just means fat butt.
Big butt. Yeah. It means that they have a larger musculature. Big butts.
Cannot lie. So,
yes, he does. I mean, the first time I saw him at like 3 weeks old, I was like, dang, that's a booty right there.
You'll find that there are quarter horses who have endurance type and some that have mixed, one copy of Sprint and one copy of endurance. The animals that are endurance type are less common in the quarter horses, and they tend to be a little less of a big booty, a little more refined, a little leggier, less compact, more thoroughbred-y, right? So, but that's not the majority. The majority is what you have here. And then I'm just curious before we move on, is he a bit of a rascal? Maybe kind of clever? Kind of picking things apart, getting up in your business?
Not yet. I mean, he's only like 5 months old, so he's still very, very young. But I will say he has learned the kind of routine here very, very well. And he very quickly learned how to lead. My farrier was shocked at how quick he was. He learned to have his feet trimmed. Like
focused,
everything is,
right?
He's very focused, very smart, and just super quiet, like really gentle to the point where I'm like, oh my God, you're sick. Like something's wrong with you because you're too sweet and quiet.
He's probably pretty well bred, even if you don't know who the parents are. And the temperament he's got is a mix of curious and vigilance, which people tend to describe as clever. And what you're describing with the way he's quick to learn, focused, that stands to reason. But you might find as he gets older that he gets picky about who he likes and doesn't like. And he'll tolerate whoever you ask him to, is my guess. But he may sort of turn his nose up at you if he doesn't know you. Like, I don't know. I need to think about it.
I'll warn my husband because he would be that guy.
So in the hotter horses, it tends to be more pronounced so far. In the quieter horses, it's just sort of noticeable if you know the horse. But somebody goes to the stall, the horse knows and likes, and they come running. Somebody goes to the stall and the horse doesn't know and like goes, meh, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
All right. Down to business. So his ancestry is pretty telling. And where I would look for him, since he's an unknown, is I would look at horses like me if you're more interested in what breed you think he is. So we compare his genetics with a bunch of reference populations, right? We take groups of horses that are reported to be, you know, standardbreds and thoroughbreds and quarter horses and Arabians and so on and so forth. And we will compare your horse's genetic content to those horses. And in this case, your top five, I'm not so concerned about who they are. I look at the numbers and how closely your horse matches to them. And your number one match is a 78% similar, which is fairly high. And usually in this breed, in quarter horses, 78% tends to be an animal that's related. within 3 degrees. And that would be, you know, family or aunts, uncles, grandsire, granddam, and possibly first cousins. But these five top don't have to necessarily be related, but the genetic content is similar. And I'm seeing 78%, 76, 76, 76, and 76. And so the first four are all quarter horse paint horses. And the celebrity horse is also 76%, and it's Stingray, you know, MP Meter My Hay, the famous barrel racer.
I would love to say I do, but I don't know any of the barrel racing lines. Wait, are you saying he's related to a famous horse, a famous barrel racer?
No, he's genetically similar, not super high, 76%, which is reasonably high. But if I were expecting him to be a well-bred barrel racer, I would expect that number to be around 78%. So we know that they're both quarter horses, and we know that they're both more cow horse bred, which reigns true with what we're seeing in his genetic variants.
Jamie recently had an experience doing some cow work, and she loved it. So there you go, Jamie. You got your horse.
I mean, I feel like I've got the perfect horse for me. This is great.
I definitely think this is a cow horse. I mean, all the indications are there. So you never know until you get on them. Right. But a lot of the profiling that we're doing that indicates their discipline rings true with this one. So a lot stronger than many of them that we see. And then there are the horses Find My Herd. And there were three matches. These are animals that are directly related to your horse.
Okay.
And they're all quarter horses and paint horses. And let's see if we have disciplines. This one's a private account. Only I can check it unless you message them. You can message them and they might be able to answer you. Let me see if they said what the discipline was on this one. Give me a second.
So just so you know, I'll give you a little backstory. The way that they do the nurse mares is they didn't want to breed nurse mare foals that would have no value. So what they worked out at this breeding facility is that they will take excess collections from other breeding farms around Oklahoma. Like part of the deal is they have to donate semen. And so they just put really, really expensive cow horse or horse semen into the mares that they have for nurse mares. And so they've got like a dozen nurse mares. And so they collect extra semen. So what they didn't want to do was have some like teaser pony that's, you know, Hackney Appaloosa and breed it to these mares. They wanted to get valuable horses that would actually be good performers later in life and have a good chance at a good life. So I know he is from some stallion in Oklahoma. I did ask, I'm like, do you guys like use gypsy vanners or anything, halfling or anything weird that would mix, you know, with a quarter horse? And they, because I know the mare's a quarter horse, and they said that they use, it would either be at the quarter horse farms around or warm blood farms around or any of these other like,
well, that makes sense then.
Fancy thing. Yeah. And so I've been like researching all of the local farms around here, like Oklahoma Stud, like which would look match with him. But unfortunately, he looks just like his mom. So I'm like, I can't tell which stallion it is. So this is all great information. Okay. So
the good thing is this will keep going, right? This will keep going because if other people are testing their horses, we may be able to figure out who his parents are, right? And he might be able to go back and get registered if he wanted to do that. Because you've got two animals that are identified and a third that's a private account, you might be able to do a little bit of forensic homework with those folks and figure out who his daddy is.
So you said that first one is 78% similar. And what is the job of that horse? Does it say what those horses do?
So sometimes people report the discipline and other times they don't. If it doesn't, when you check the profile, if it doesn't say anything, you can message the owner of that horse. You'll see a little icon. So there's one that's the highest match that you have. That's a 78%. You'll see a little envelope there. And I would encourage you to click that envelope and say, hey, this is Crazy Jamie from Horses in the Morning. And I have a mystery foal that's closely related to yours. Can we talk?
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Cool. I'll do that.
And then they can choose whether or not to respond to you. So you can't see their contact information, but they can see yours if you allow it. And then they can choose whether or not they want to talk to you about their horse.
Well, you know,
maybe
I won't lead with crazy Jamie. Yeah. She's already got a cease and desist letter from a certain actor in Australia. So, you know.
Which one is it? Is it Nicole Kidman or is it?
Oh, it's the man from Snowy River, but he doesn't
the
even
man from
grace
Snowy
me.
River?
I have been stalking him for years, and I don't even get the pleasure of a cease and desist. I just get ignored, okay?
Which is probably worse.
It's worse.
Well, okay. See, that's really interesting because I would have thought it would be Russell Crowe. I could see you stalking Maximus.
Yeah, well, I mean, I go deeper than that. I'm back to my childhood with Jim Craig. Okay, back to Butters, Glenn. Stop derailing us. Okay, is there any genetic information that I should know? Because I know you guys also, besides the color panel and the parentage and everything like that, you also have a kind of deep dive into personality and health things that might happen. I remember the last one that we did had a gene to make him just one copy of a gene that made him 4 inches shorter than his brothers, you know, like certain things like that. And then you looked at his eyes and told me whether his eyes were at risk for anything. What do you know about Butters and his future? Tell me the future.
So let's see. So if you were planning on making him into a super stud star.
Stop, and just tell you he will be gelded as soon as he's physically
Let him dream. Let him have the fantasy for a minute. Dream. Yeah, let him have it. And his genomic inbreeding value is right in there for quarter horses. It's 5%, which is slightly on the lower side. So that's good. That means he's not super inbred. But you'd want to keep in mind, again, that he is a carrier for Herda. Hereditary equine dermalasthenia, right? And I think it's regional dermalasthenia, actually. I forget the R sometimes. And what that does is if you inherit two copies of that, it causes the skin to kind of come apart as a collagen disorder. And so you don't want to breed Herda horses. One copy is said to have no effect. There's not really any clinical proof out there that one copy causes any problems. In fact, there's kind of some arguments that it causes an increase in earlier performance. And the theory is that because there's increased joint flexibility, that these animals don't get hurt as easily, which is oftentimes where you'll see a large number of Herda carriers in certain disciplines where the top sires were Herda carriers. And they don't know if that's popular sire effect, meaning everybody bred to them, and so that variant is everywhere, or if it's because the animals that were bred that carry Herda tend to rise a little bit quicker to the top.
Wow, I'd never heard of Herda. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very prominent. It's all over the cow horse lines.
Okay, well, clearly I'm new to this world. Okay, so a carrier for Herda, so I can't breed him to a Herda positive mare. Okay, good to know.
That's right.
So, one more vote for castration.
He's not going to like this conversation, I can tell you.
That's okay. He can take it. Okay, what else does he have?
Let's see here. So he has some increased risk to West Nile virus. That's important. Because as you may or may not know, that is on the rise right now. There's been a bit of a spike in West Nile virus. Cases have gone up into the hundreds in a couple of weeks. And so it's really important because he's a little bit more susceptible to keep him vaccinated. Because if he contracts West Nile virus, he is more likely to have more moderate increased symptom severity than his non-variant carrying friends. Wow, so he'll get a little bit sicker and need a little bit more TLC if he does contract West Nile virus. So keep that in mind in case you suspect it or he's exposed to West Nile virus.
I'm taking notes.
And make sure. Yeah, that's important. He is also a little more susceptible to the neurological form of EHV. So if you are toting him around and you hear there's an EHV outbreak, keep him away from that. He's at the highest risk level for that.
Okay. Wow, that's scary. So keep him vaccinated all the time. Okay.
Yep. Vaccines are a thing. And you definitely want to keep your animals up to date on their vaccines. Sorry, my little Belgian puppy just can't shut her face.
I love it. It's okay. We totally encourage barking dogs on this show.
Jeez, don't tell her, please. Oh my God.
Okay. More acceptable to West Nile, more acceptable to EHV. Anything mm-hmm. else I should be aware of?
Those are the two that I would focus on right now, because those are things that are going on in the world. And there are things that are preventable by us, you know, by exposure and vaccination. Mm-hmm. So another thing you might think about, he's got slight increased susceptibility to equine recurrent uveitis. And so that's eye infection trigger, right? Okay. And if, let's say, you figure out there are possums in your barn and people are getting leptospirosis, make sure your vet knows if your horse contracts leptospirosis to watch those eyes and really take care, because he will be a little bit more susceptible to eye problems.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know lepto. We vaccinate dogs for lepto. I don't think we vaccinate horses. Is that something we should add to his vaccination list?
I don't know. You have to ask the vet. Yep, I don't know about that. And personally, lepto for dogs can be a little risky. Some dogs react to that vaccine, so you have to be careful with that and discuss it with your vet. And sometimes if people are in a high-risk area and they think their dog might be reactive to the vaccine, they might start with some sort of preventative care before giving the first vaccine, right? Some sort of antihistamine to help drive down the reaction if they're going to have one. So talk to your vet. We don't ever recommend medical anything. We always say, here's the information, mm-hmm. talk to your vet, because your vet knows your animal.
Well, I guess we are running thin on time. Glenn is being mean and making me keep this to a reasonable amount of time. Krista, this is amazing. And I do know that you guys emailed me this profile with all of this information. I didn't look at it because I didn't want to spoil the surprise of the reveal of Butters. So please, everybody, if you want to know all of this information, even if you know what the breed is and you know the horse, like, go see what your horse is susceptible for and could be, you know, a health risk for. It's Etalon, Etalondx.com. And I heard you guys are doing dogs now.
Alpha dog. Yep. We are doing dogs. And the dog thing is huge. It's like 400 different tests on there. And we also have the Find My Pack, you know, find your relatives. And we have, instead of build a horse, we have build a dog. And we do the inbreeding estimates. You can pick two random dogs and cross them and see what the inbreeding goes up or down. And there's even a marketplace. So if your dog's profile says something like, you know, white fluffy coat, medium to large dog, and barks a lot, it will point you to products and services that will help you with those things, a blueing shampoo, you know, special treatments for barking, training, and all that kind of thing. And it's all client driven. So again, tell us what you want. And that's what we put in there.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so great. Because I mean, most people get horses and they know what they are, but most people that listen to this get dogs and we have no idea what we're getting into, because
that's,
you know,
right,
the pound doesn't do, you know, genetics. So this is fantastic. Krista, thank you so much for being on. And again, it's etalondx.com, etalondx.com. And I just cannot thank you enough for all this information. And I'm going to pour through the email after this. And thank you guys for doing what you do.
Of course. And thanks for having us, and call anytime with any questions you have. You know, we love to chat. We can't
Hopefully
help it.
It'll be another minute before I did tell my husband, I'm like, we're getting another one next year. This is so fun. I love him so much. I'm like, we're going to get one every year, every year.
That's
you.
So cool. I'm jealous.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries, so you can feed less yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at dailydoseequine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through chewy.com and tractorsupply.com.
Well, we have Melissa Chapman coming up and her book, Distant Skies, An American Journey on Horseback. Well, hey, Melissa, thanks for joining us again. We appreciate it.
Hello, Glenn. It's nice to speak with you today.
We've had you on before, but it was years and years ago, and it was about your book. And I remember saying to you, if you ever get the audiobook version of your book out, because I'm more of an audiobook person than a reader, you can come back and chat with us. And you did.
Well, yes. Thank you. The publisher, Trafalgar, had arranged that for the new release. The audiobook just recently came out, and it's exciting. And I have a new respect for people like yourself that talk for a living. Because
did you record it? You did it yourself?
I am the narrator. Yep. I am the one who recorded it. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. You feel like you're cool putting on the microphone and the headphones and everything. And then, boy, it's some work.
It is a lot of work.
Learn a lot about how I talk. Apparently I talk fast, and you know, it was a learning thing, but it actually was in the end a great thing to do, because it's a very personal story. As you know, I know you read the book and we've spoken before, but when I was a young person, I left from the Northeast, upstate New York, and headed west on my horse with just my dog. And I'd always have to note that was pre-cell phone, pre-Google Maps, pre-blogging, pre-all that. So I was really on my own, horse, dog, and me. And the stories are very personal to me because I lived it. So it did bring back a lot of the emotion and was fun for me in that way to be the one reading those stories.
What a lot of people don't realize, one, it takes forever to read a book, for, and especially if Audible's going to do it, because they're very picky about the quality. So
yes,
you, as you learned. So, but one of the things, too, that a lot of people don't realize is, and even when our sponsors give us commercials or we're planning something that we have to read, writing is different than reading. And when you read something out loud, it's much different than reading it quietly. And a lot of things are very difficult to read out loud that when you read them written, they're fine. Did you discover that about yourself?
That was part of what I had to learn. Because reading, when you read, for whether you're learning something or for pleasure, you're reading a novel or something, you're reading how you think. Like, you're just in your head, and apparently mine's kind of fast. So that was the first thing I had to change. And then I'm no performer. I'm no, you know, entertainer. And I find it annoying when people overact and overdo it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to do that. But finally, I was told, this is like your emotions and your real story. Just remember that you're telling it like somebody really wants to listen. And that helped. And then when I did get into some emotional parts, I think it really did come out. So, yeah, it became the way it was supposed to be. But it was not natural at the beginning to learn that, I think, you know. So, yeah. So, like I said, new respect for people that have to do that all the time, because reading to yourself, reading out loud, reading your own writing, reading to knowing that other people are going to be listening, it's all something different, you know. So,
well,
yeah.
The book is called Distant Skies, An American Journey on Horseback, and I did see it's available on Audible now so that people can find it there, which is terrific. It's kind of ironic that people could be listening to this as they're driving across the country in their car, so that's kind of ironic.
Yes.
How many times did you, I don't think I asked you this before, how many times did you get lost? I mean, this was maps and, you know, just asking for directions when the farmer says, oh, it's the third tree or the fifth cow, make a left. I mean,
yeah.
We've all been there that are old enough to remember that. I assume you got lost a few times.
We did touch on this once before, and it's funny because, yes, I did get lost. And it's especially funny to people. So just to be clear, the journey, we did make it. I don't think that spoils anything, because there wouldn't be a book about it if we didn't. But many adventures along the way, all the way from New York to California. But now there are a whole generation of adults, like young adults, like my children in their 20s and 30s, that weren't even born, and also don't know a world that didn't have cell phones and GPS and, you know, all that, social media. And it's shocking to people of that age that my entire dependence was on folded up maps and people that couldn't call me, but would drive by and say, oh, I saw her on the news. We should stop and see if they need anything, you know, that type of thing. And maybe no one would drive by. Maybe there was no one around. And I think one of the strangest things that, you know, when people ask about it, I say that there were times that, you know, I was camping or in more remote areas that literally not a person in the world knew where we were. And nowadays that's so rare.
Oh, that would never happen nowadays.
Yeah, you track people, you can, you know, do all that stuff. And, you know, there were times just laying there where you just listen to coyotes howl and you know, your horse is tied outside and you just think, not a living soul has any idea where I've been for the last, might not know for a few days till we get somewhere with a phone or a ranch or something, you know. So very different times. Still, you know, modern day, like I always tie it back in and I had a little transistor radio, if you can think of that term that you probably haven't heard in a long time. And like I say, some things, it wasn't ancient history. People didn't still travel by horseback. It was rare and it did attract a lot of attention. But I had this little radio and I would listen to, you know, George Strait was a new young guy and Bruce Springsteen was already around. And, you know, so I listened to that stuff. So it kind of ties it in with things people are still aware of and still do. So it was modern day and a lot of speeding cars. We stayed away from busy roads, but a lot of changes since that time, well, too. And well, yes, completely dependent on maps. And
well, speaking of changes, people's attitude towards strangers have changed too. Back then, did you find, you found, I know you did, you found people were welcoming and things. I think if you made the trip today, there would just be more apprehension, right, about you showing up at their doorstep?
You know, I don't think I can 100% agree with that.
Okay.
And I'm basing that on not just, you know, a rosy-eyed view of the world because I was treated that way. But I would have thought that myself, except that this trip and then having the book come out so many years later in a different time was actually kind of a neat experience because I hear from so many people now because, of course, they can look me up if they like the book and message me and that type of thing. And I hear from people, and I did have a couple experiences. So I was in the 80s, and I was a young girl. And I do sometimes also have people say, well, everybody helps young girls. You know, of course, you're not threatening and everything. But I had a gentleman interview me, and he said, oh, I'll tell you about my crazy thing at the end, you know. And he said he was 22 and bought a motorcycle that he did not know how to ride and taught himself. And about 2 weeks later, to his parents' joy, I'm sure, he took off across the country. And so this was in the 90s. And he said, I, of course, crashed the bike in Colorado on a mountain road. And he said the first pickup truck that came by was some cowboy, and he helped me lift up the bike and took me home, and his wife fed me, that type of thing. So that was the 90s. And then I spoke to another woman, and she was older than I was when she started out, and this was in the 2000s. And different type of trip, not the exact same thing, but interestingly similar stories. And that was kind of heartening, like encouraging to me to hear that because, so we've got the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and I do hear that, like, oh, people aren't like that anymore. So I think one of the things that's nice about having this audiobook and this book come out now is that, you know, we have been through some contentious times as a country and things like people that need help and people that see that and reach out win over church or politics or whatever your beliefs are. I think there's still a lot of people that see someone that needs help or a horse even that needs help and they do it. And I found that encouraging to talk to other people that did it similar things more recently and learning that. So yeah, there is a lot different, but I think some of our human nature, hopefully we can believe is mostly good.
One other question before I let you go is there a story that sticks with you from the time going across the country? One of those stories that's never going to leave you?
There is. There's a good handful of them, and that's why it kept nagging at me to write a book. One of the neat things about the audiobook, if people have already read Distant Skies, is we added 10 new stories.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, I think at the beginning of the book, I had one of those, just a line, and it said every road is a story. And when you sort of put yourself out there and go out on a limb and live a different lifestyle with a horse and a dog, every day there's something. And it was so hard to pull stories out to make a viable, marketable book, you know. And so one of the neat things was people had reached out to me when they heard me talk about that and say, is there any way I can get some of your other stories, and that's a great compliment, you know. So we picked out a few, and I think because this podcast is for horse people, I would like to mention a story that's not in the original book.
Okay.
And that is that everybody knows I had a dog, and eventually we added a mule in Kansas.
That's right.
So we had quite a little caravan, and it's a shout out, really.
If you had a pig, you could have had Green Acres going across the country.
Well, we were riding through a very rural area in the Midwest and heard a meow. And I stopped, and there was no houses around, and, you know, we were out in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, Rainy, who is my horse, bless his heart, I got off, and there was a little, just past newborn, you know, eyes open and walking a little, but very fragile kitten. And he ended up riding with us for a while. So, unknown to book readers, there was a time that it was a horse, a dog, a mule, and a cat. And it tells in the story what happened to him and everything. But I thought, boy, it's going to get harder and harder for people to take us in because we can't keep adding animals here. You know what I mean? So we did find him a home. It was not practical for him to cross country with Rainy, bless his heart, this amazing quarter horse, carrying me, our packs, our tent, our food, a dog, and then a cat, you know? So, yeah, but that comes to mind because I think it speaks to when you have a good horse, you have a good horse, you know?
That's true. Well, I hope that everybody that didn't hear this before or hasn't heard of the book before, it's called Distant Skies, An American Journey on Horseback. It's available now on Amazon in print form, or it's still available in print, right?
Absolutely. Yep. It's been doing well. I still get a lot of feedback and people asking about different aspects. And it's been a very wonderful thing having the book out there in the world. Met a lot of people and got to do fun things like this.
And then if you're like me and want to listen to the audiobook, that's available now. Now I can't wait to hear you read it. Now I'm going to have to take a listen because I want to hear you read it. Well, Melissa,
thank you. If you drive a lot or are planning a road trip, I do want to throw out there, it is a true road trip story. The ups, downs, danger, loneliness, humor, touch of romance, and it's all in there, and it's a great road trip book, or if you commute to work, it's perfect for that. I do want to say that, so thank you.
Very good. It's called Distant Skies, An American Journey on Horseback. Thank you, Melissa.
Whether you're hauling to a show, heading to a clinic, or just clocking highway miles, fuel costs add up fast. U.S. Rider Diesel Savings, powered by Open Roads, can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at thousands of gas stations across the country. High mileage drivers could save more than $700 a year. It's free to join, and as a gift from US Rider, you'll get free priority processing when you sign up. Head to myopenroads.com/USRider to start saving today.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race. In Jamie's Weird News.
Yes, it's that time of the week where we read weird things that happened all over the world, basically, and they're submitted by you guys. So if you're looking through the news and you see a story and you're like, wow, that's super weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, just like Shelley, Julie, Jolynn, Lorraine, Stephanie, Eileen, Aaron, Katie, Susan, Alyssa, Charlotte, Lindsay, and Michelle all did. It was a good week. It was a good week. And we're going to start. You know, I talked early about being in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I think my favorite thing about being in Hershey, Pennsylvania, Glenn, is that all the, you know, the lamp, the night lights, like the lights along
the street
road,
lights. Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
street lights.
Yeah.
They're all capped with Hershey's kisses.
That's been that way since I was a little kid.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Seriously, it was really cute. And we ate and the food was really good. Everything was good. And we bought a lot of chocolate. However, do you remember, I think it was a year ago, that Hershey was sued by a bunch of customers. And they sued Hershey, claiming that the Reese's Halloween candies that they purchased, you know, they've got the Halloween candies, which is like the pumpkins
and the
bats. Well, on the outside of the packaging, it has the picture of the pumpkin and it's got little eyes carved out and the mouth carved out and the bat has like bat teeth and, you know, eyes on it. Well, when you open the container, those carvings actually aren't on the candy. It's just chocolate covered. And consumers sued Hershey, claiming that their Reese's Halloween candies they purchased did not have the carved pumpkin faces, ghost eyes, or bat details that had on the packaging.
We all need to get a life.
And they said, these blank candies are deceptive practice. Well, they sued them. They sued Hershey, and they went to court. And just this past week, I didn't even know about it while I was in Hershey, the ruling came down, and the lawsuit was dismissed. U.S. District Judge Melissa Damian dismissed the lawsuit, finding the way a product should look is subjective and that the customers had shown no any economic harm or loss of value.
Well, you know, I agree with the economic harm and loss of value. However, does that set a precedent for whatever's on the cover doesn't even have to remotely look like what's inside?
I don't know. Maybe this is going to... Hey, in 2025, Hershey's ruling with the Halloween candy. I don't know. People probably, you know, tag it forever. But they said that Hershey's stance was the product is not defective and it does meet taste and flavor expectations. And you did not pay a premium for detailed carvings that were not on the candy.
So, oh my gosh.
Win for Hershey's.
We won't see much Halloween candy from them this year.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to head to Lubbock, Texas. This one, everybody sent me. And I actually found this one myself. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe nobody sent me this one yet. And then, boom, 20 people sent it to me. So this is in Lubbock, Texas. Did you hear about the officers? They're police officers, and they were mounted patrol units. And this is in Lubbock, and they're riding down the road, and they have body cameras on, which is fantastic. So they're riding down the road, and they saw this man walking down the street who looked kind of messed up, and he was acting suspicious. And they were like, I bet he has drugs. So they ride up. The body camera shows them riding up to him. And they said, excuse me, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. And the officer says, can we check your pockets for drugs? And he was like, I don't have any drugs. And then the officer, William Trotter, made a joke.
Okay, his name is Trotter, and he's a mounted police officer.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? he said, I was just going to make a joke and break some tension. Like, it seemed like things were kind of stiff for a second. So what he says to the perpetrator is he's like, hey, I mean, I don't have to search your pockets. I have a narcotic sniffing horse as a joke. He's like, I have a drug sniffing horse, not a drug sniffing dog. That's when the man took off. Like, took off running. He's like, oh my God. Of course, the guy was joking. This horse is, they haven't trained them yet for that. He said he took off down the alley. We thought he was joking, but he kept running. And then he took it so seriously, and the chase was on. And so the video shows the officers galloping up to the man. They caught up to him in like 2 seconds. He was later identified as 42-year-old Joseph Ramirez. And guess what? He had drugs.
No kidding.
There you go.
That's a good line. The officers are going to use that again. That won't be the last time he uses that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, so somebody sent me this news story. Remember, I don't reveal who sends me what because it's none of your business. But this person sent me a mugshot, and I'm going to try to describe the mugshot. It is a... It's almost a guy that looks like an Oompa Loompa. Like, and by the way, this is Florida, Glenn,
okay,
in case you were wondering. And it says Florida man. And the guy is looks like so sunburned. So, and he's got very bushy eyebrows and some sort of goatee thing that are blonde. And he's got red hair, like blondish red hair.
A lot going
on
there.
Beet red. He looks like an Oompa Loompa. And so the article said, this is from CBS News on their Facebook page, Florida man, 37, arrested for kidnapping 27 people and forcing them to play Yahtzee for 36 hours straight. Now, the person that sent me this said, I don't have any other information than this, that this CBS posted on their Facebook page, Florida man arrested for kidnapping all these people and making them play Yahtzee for 37 hours. And I was like, well, I mean, as the journalist that I am, I decided to fact check. So I went on Google and I went to the AI thing and I'm like, hey, tell me about this guy who kidnapped people to play Yahtzee. And so she came back, he came back, whatever, whoever it is, came back and said, while the kidnapping story is false, there have been actual crimes involving the game of Yahtzee in Florida. I don't play Yahtzee, but apparently it makes people very aggressive.
Yeah, I'm not good at English, so playing Yahtzee was never good for me.
In September of 2011, a man in Florida allegedly choked his wife during an argument that broke out over a game of Yahtzee.
It was a word. It wasn't a word. It was a word. It wasn't a word.
An opinion column in 2021 referenced a different case in which one man killed another one over a Yahtzee game in Florida.
God, Yahtzee's dangerous.
Hey, listen, if you live in Florida and you have Yahtzee, throw that out. Just get rid of it because it makes people in Florida crazy. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Well, I have one to end the day today. By the way,
I have one more. Oh, okay. It's just a quick one. Okay. Sorry, I forgot to add this one earlier. Cow got loose at Walmart, and I don't know where this is, but I'm assuming in the Walmart parking lot.
Okay.
There's the cow.
I was going to say, they usually don't sell them whole.
No, they don't. So it's in the Walmart parking lot. And so I don't know where it is because it was on an Animal Life Facebook page. And there's pictures. It says, today a cow got loose at the Walmart just 5 minutes from her house. They were calling around trying to find the owner. What they did was they took all the carts and they made like a corral of carts, like shopping buggies, and circled the cow with the shopping buggies. And this cow is like, what is happening? It's like a Jersey milk cow. It's like, doesn't want to be there anyway. So they said they were calling around trying to find the owner when this woman shows up on a horse. And it's like a done looking horse with a baby in a Bjorn strapped to her chest.
Oh my God.
She walks over bareback with a baby on her chest.
This has got to be Texas.
This has got to be Texas. She ropes the Jersey cow casually and led it home like it was nothing. They said it was straight out of a Western movie aside from the Walmart. I still can't decide if I should be horrified or if I want to be her best friend. I'm like, yeah.
There's a tough chick right there.
That's awesome.
That's the epitome of cowgirl. Strap the baby on and go catch the cow at the Walmart.
Gotta catch the cow down at the Walmart. So
and she
perfect.
Didn't make a big fuss about it. She just did it.
She just did it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to AI that while it was super, okay. Super that is.
You know, they did a poll. So this is a somewhat happier story about a more, well, I'm not sure actually, but it's a Florida story. And they had a poll. And they wanted to crown the most famous Floridian. We've had lots of Floridians that have been famous for good things and bad things. And they wanted to do a poll to see who would win as the most famous Floridian ever. Any idea?
I have no idea.
I am not surprised to say that it's Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett won the most famous Floridian ever. That didn't surprise me. You know, he's got Margaritavilles all over Florida. He just was well known here in Florida and everywhere else for that matter. But yep, so Jimmy Buffett won.
My brother was a bartender at Margaritaville in Key West.
Oh my God, he was at the icon of Margaritavilles.
Oh yeah, he said Jimmy Buffett just pop in, hop on stage, sing a couple songs. He was like great dude, and then walk out with a waitress on his arm, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I choose you. Okay, did you have more on that?
Nope,
one?
That was it.
Okay, so the cow did get loose in a Walmart parking lot,
Texas.
In Texas.
It's like the other Florida, Texas. Texas is the other Florida.
Onlookers described the event as an, quote, epic Western moment and were impressed by the woman's skills.
I bet they were. And that baby's grown up to be a cowboy. That's what that
you
baby's
what?
Grown up to be. Already awesome. Good at roping. That's it for today. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for plowing through there. Jamie, your voice is getting worse as we're going.
My head is getting heavier.
I'm glad that you joined us this morning, and we'll forgive the post show, and we'll do one on Friday if Jamie's voice allows.
Oh my gosh. And I'm so busy this week getting all of the horses. I have four racehorses from Horse and Hound here. I've got
to do your clinic next week.
Yes, clinic starts next week, and I've got there's horses coming out of my ears, and I don't know what to do with all of them, and because I have so many students coming, I'm trying to clean everything and get everything ready and everything, and I feel like
crap. I know
who's
going to be drugged heavily this week.
I mean, for real. I was like, better I get it now than next week, so it'll be gone by next week.
That's true. You are right about that. All right, everybody, thanks. Be safe.
All right, everybody.
And don't go anywhere. We get sick when we go places.
No, I can't travel.